You know, this morning, the Honolulu City Council was to take up a resolution asking for a performance audit for the Honolulu Police Department. We learned late Friday afternoon that Honolulu Police Chief Susan Ballard would make herself available to media yesterday. She spoke with reporters separately for 10-minute blocks. We talked to her yesterday afternoon. The first thing on our list was clarifying the situation about the overtime issue that led to the disbanding of the COVID Enforcement Special Unit. The second was on the justification of the equipment purchases under the CARES Act. Here's what the chief had to say.
All but the four of the officers, they worked every bit of the overtime. None of it was not work. And for the four officers, we're only talking about, between the four of them, 6 hours. So in an abundance of caution, you know, even when we found out that this had happened, we did not, all that came out of their entire shift, even though some of the shift, most of the shift was worked, but as an abundance of caution, we made sure that, you know, HPD just paid that overtime. So there's really nothing to return.
Okay, but the excess, I mean, two officers logged 300 hours or more? I mean, is that right?
Right, but they did. And that's why it took so long, as we pulled timesheets. We pulled their overtime cards. We checked special duty. We checked everything. It was a very thorough investigation, and it was determined that all of those officers worked every single hour that they put in for.
So there's no money to return to taxpayers?
No. The 6 hours that was not worked by those four officers was already paid by HPD.
Okay. And then just as far as going forward, though, you know, I think there's concern when you see those amounts, because that will affect what the ERS pays out when these officers retire. So is somebody now watching to make sure that, you know, it doesn't go over like this?
Well, you know, with the ERS, and I think a lot of people don't understand, is that, you know, those officers who are what we call the high earners, or their high three, fact is that a lot of that overtime is not HPD overtime, so we really don't have that much control over it. We do limit, like for special duty, if they work for another city and county agency, then they get overtime. If they work like a grant type of job, then that's overtime. But, you know, it's not like staff short. It's not in furtherance of regular HPD duties. One of the things that we are trying to look at right now, you know, we're working with the city, is to try at looking another way of paying the officer, like a flat rate versus overtime, so that it would not affect ERS. This has been a problem that's been going on for quite a while. This administration has agreed to try and work with us to resolve that, you know, resolve that issue. So, we're just, and then the other thing is that now, of course, the officers, I think it's like 8 years that have 8 years and less, they're under a different system, so that any overtime that they work does not go towards a retirement system. They just get paid for the overtime, and then retirement is only based on their high 5 years base salary.
But getting back to the overtime issue, so how is that getting resolved? Obviously, you disbanded that COVID special unit.
Well, for special duty, they have limited hours that they can work. And then also for grant overtime, they have limited hours that they can work. So, you know, that's what we've got right now. And hopefully, like I said, when we, you know, with this administration, that we can work with them. And instead of paying overtime, it'll be a flat rate that the officer would get paid versus overtime, which would not affect the retirement system.
Does that have to be negotiated with the union?
That, because it's a grant overtime, is volunteer. It's not conditions of employment, because this would be all the extra volunteer. So like when we get grants for seatbelt enforcement, speed enforcement, that type of thing. So in my understanding, that it would not be negotiable, because it is a voluntary overtime and it's not part of, you know, their standard work shift.
So is it administrative rules, or does it require a change in the law?
As far as we understand from the grant folks, that they give us the money, and how we pay it to the officers is up to us. But the roadblock from before, even when I first came in, I tried to change it, was that the system could not be changed to pay a flat type of rate. So with the, like I said, with this new administration, they're going to be taking a look to see if, you know, we can change that.
And what can you tell taxpayers about the CARES money spending? We understand that there's a Treasury division that's looking at where those monies went.
Okay, so first, we've never been contacted by anybody in the federal government, only the city asking for the paperwork that we had, you know, that we submitted to Budget and Fiscal that was approved by them. And then they asked some additional questions justifying the purchase. So we have sent them all that information. And what I'd like to remind people is that when we started these purchases, it was at the beginning of this, and nobody knew how long it was going to last, how severe it was going to be. I mean, at that point, you could touch things and get this deadly virus, you know. And so we purchased things that we felt that we were going to need to carry us through. And one thing about the police is that we always plan for we hope for the best, but we plan for the worst. But in my opinion, I really, after looking at, you know, all the justifications, that there was justification for each of the purchases that we had, and it was all contributed to COVID.
And so when you say it was the city that requested this information, do you know if that request was, you know, by the feds?
I'm not privy to any of that information. Only the city would have that information.
Okay. And you believe that the department was justified in everything from the trucks to the robotic dog?
Yes. I mean, you know, people, you know, for that robotic dog, it actually has, we can have, you know, basically, it's non-contact with the folks out at post. So we do have COVID-positive people out there. That way we can, you know, the robotic dog can have, you know, face-to-faces with them without having to put, you know, the officers or the workers that we have out there in jeopardy, as well as, you know, doctor's appointments. We can actually have virtual doctor's appointments, you know, with the folks that are out there. So, you know, all these things, and understanding, once again, that at the beginning of this, like with all the cars, we thought we were going to need, I mean, we were using them to transport people. We were using them, you know, to help out with the surge testing, with the, you know, with quarantine issues. And at the point when we got them, we also thought that at that time that you had to decontaminate everything every time you use them. So, based on the justification and the information we had, I believe that all of our purchases were justified.
Do you think we'll have to return anything?
From what I've seen, I don't know what's going to come out of it, but I feel comfortable that, you know, we bought what we did and we had justification because of COVID for what we got. You know, Catherine, for all of the COVID, the biggest challenge for us has just been the constant changing and, you know, and making sure that the people out there, the community knows, you know, what the next steps are. And so, you know, it's an education thing. And, you know, we're really stuck in the middle. You've got the people who want us to go out and just slam everybody for everything. And then, but, you know, the other time, you know, the people who are doing these violations, they're not criminals. They're, you know, they're just people who might not, you know, have the right information. So that's the hardest part, is that, you know, the officers are getting stuck in the middle and they're doing the best that they can, you know. And obviously now that we're not in shutdown, our direction is, you know, more education and trying to get them, you know, voluntary compliance.
That was HPD Chief Susan Ballard. She talked with us yesterday afternoon. You know, we reached out to the city about clarification on which federal agency triggered the record request. We were told that it was the Treasury and the Inspector General.